listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
For a long time here on Full Power Living, I've been talking with you about the transformation that's taking place and the wonderful promise for our future. Up until now, it's all been happening out there, sometime in the future. But now lots of people are saying that we are, in fact, moving into the golden age for humanity. When you look around, however, does it look really golden agey? It's clear that something radical has to take place for us to really move forward, to have human beings behave differently and get ourselves into a time of real love and peace between humans. And there are radical things happening now. Today we're talking about one of them, something called Diksha, or the Oneness Blessing. Welcome to Full Power Living. We're helping the world to know and master the power and importance of human emotions. Listen to the show on blogtalkradio.com/FPL or Emotional Pro on the radio show page, and you can also subscribe on iTunes. And during this live broadcast, you're invited to chat with me or my guest and my guest. So call in toll-free at 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570. Well, my guest today is Paula Rosenfeld, who discovered Diksha in the 1980s, and she's been working with it since. She's a certified oneness trainer and founded the From the Heart Center in Chicago in 1992. She's also a shamanic practitioner, an energy worker, a clairvoyant reader, a coach, and a meditation instructor. In 2013, at Oneness University in India, she experienced her awakening and reignited her long-held dedication to the transformation of world consciousness. You can check her out at fromtheheartcenter.com. Paula is the author of The Oneness Blessing, How Diksha Can Help You Become Your Authentic Self, Heal Your Relationships, and Transform the World. Paula Rosenfeld, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you, Eileen. It's a pleasure to be here. I love your introduction of me. Thank you. I appreciate that. I just want to make one little correction. I didn't discover Diksha till about 6 years ago. It did start in the 80s, though. The late 80s, 89, actually. Uh-huh. But, yeah, I didn't stumble upon it myself till much more recently.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for clarifying that. We research, but we don't always get everything perfect.
No problem.
You know, just in anticipation of this program with you, I actually went to Diksha Circle or meeting this week and had the experience of Diksha. So, it was really interesting. And I've also been interested because there is a push for this to go worldwide that I was able to find. Of course, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, so it's not a surprise that I could find something like that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it was right next door to me, and I didn't even know it. So those of you who are listening, it may be right next door to you, too, and you don't know it.
It's actually all over the world. It's in China, Japan, Europe, Russia, South America, North America, Africa. So it's out there. But, yeah, you do have to know what you're looking for.
So Diksha is a blessing. It's a transmission of light, if I understand it correctly, and it creates a neurobiological shift in the brain and raises the awareness of the recipient. And I'd like you to tell us more about it than that kind of cut-and-dried explanation.
Sure. It has come through... In the 80s, two avatars in India and their son actually brought it forward, Krishnaji, brought it forward as an energy transmission. The transmission itself had been passed from master to disciple for about 800 years in that area of India. And so what's so remarkable about it now is that it is available to the general, you know, ordinary people all over the world. You don't have to live in a cave or study with a master for 40 years before getting one Diksha. You can receive this energy transmission, which does actually alter the way the brain functions, quieting the parietal lobes, which govern the fight-or-flight mechanism, and activating the frontal lobe of the brain, which is involved with perception of oneness, unity, you know, inner peace. So it's a remarkable phenomenon, and I do hope everyone can experience it.
When you talk about the fight or flight area of the brain, you're really talking about our reaction to fear. And so is it happening that what is occurring is our fear reaction is being quieted so that our love reaction can come forward? Is that a way to say it?
I would say that's a great way to say it. There's a lapse in time that emerges when you're operating less from fear and more from this witness self, you know, the self that sees what's going on and not just is in reaction mode. So people spend time meditating to cultivate a witness self, and so when you are operating from that, you're no longer looking at those people in your life maybe who trigger you as doing something to you. You're more able to see the bigger picture of oh yeah, they're having a bad day, or, you know, it's not about me, it's about something bigger, something else. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does to me, anyway. Now, I hope I say this right. Sri Bhagavan and his wife, Sri Amma.
Yes, that's right.
They are the people who, they're the avatars that you were talking about, and they founded the Oneness University in India. And you say in your book that they're careful to let people know that the Diksha or the Oneness phenomenon is not religious, and that it honors each person's own journey and beliefs, and its only purpose is to help us to awaken. Is that correct?
Yes, that's very significant, actually, because it, you know, Diksha is an energy transmission, and while there are teachings that come from Oneness University, they're very universal to all sorts of traditions. To study the teachings and to receive the Diksha does not require you to subscribe to any certain set of beliefs or dogma. It's not really even a path. It's just something that you can receive that activates your own uniqueness, your own essence, which, you know, our true essence is energy. And in that sense, we are universally one. You know, this energy animates the whole universe, all living things. So what's been seen is that as people receive Diksha, they become more their true self. And so if you do happen to be a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Christian, whatever your set of beliefs that you ascribe to, an agnostic, an atheist, there's no rules. You just become more of who you are. Mm-hmm. And so it strengthens your connection to your authentic self.
Right. Ed, one of the things that you've done in your book, The Oneness Blessing, is you've gotten feedback and information from people who have been following Diksha about what has occurred to them, so that you have many different things that have happened with people, many different ways in which they've awakened, so that when somebody reads your book, they're able to find themselves in that book in a way, and it more speaks to us because you're offering experience, as I understand. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a very strong drive that we all have in ourselves to have a basis for truth in what we personally experience. You know, so you can certainly hear people share theories and concepts and teachings, but until you actually experience something yourself, there's distance between mm-hmm. you and it. So what's a strong teaching in oneness is that one needs both personal experience and some teachings are helpful to guide you. Mm-hmm. And what I've done in the book is interviewed about 20 trainers in oneness, certified trainers, who share their personal experience. And when hearing that, I think we all have a better understanding of the concepts
right.
that go along with it.
You know, as I was reading your book, now I'm a psychotherapist, and I'm transpersonally oriented, and I've been working on myself for years and years, so that, you know, I've been an observer, and I, as my listeners certainly know, I have not really had fear for the last 20 years or so of my life. You know, it's not played a part in my life, and I'm work with emotions all the time, which I know is very important here. But and so when I read the book, these people are having enormous wake-up calls. And when I went to the group, I found myself feeling calm and peaceful, and I could certainly feel the love that was there, but nothing really dramatic happened mm-hmm. in my head or in myself that I've been aware of. And I did that, Monday night. So it's not been a really long time. And I am aware that Diksha is cumulative. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. It, you know, in a sense, the more you have, the more self-awareness begins to grow, and the more likely that you will become shifted into awakening, into that mm. permanent neurobiological shift, because that is what signifies awakening.
And it's a different length of time for each individual. There's no way of saying you do this for 6 months and you'll be awakened, right?
Correct. It's really a gift from the universe,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be unique for each person. And some people have already awakened and may not have a word for it. You know,
mm-hmm.
they may not realize it. So, you know, it can be gradual, or it can be very marked, like as I describe my own experience of awakening in the book. And some of the other trainers that I interviewed had very noticeable physiological and spiritual shifts.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly can be gradual.
Well, so for those who are listening, what exactly is awakening?
Awakening is a permanent shift in the way the brain operates, as I described before, and the mind becomes declutched, as we call it. The mind is not in charge. Instead, the mind serves the heart. And probably the most noticeable way this begins to impact you is your self-awareness becomes very heightened. You can see yourself doing things, being certain ways, you're aware, you become very aware of your patterns and your reactions. You also become aware of other people's patterns and reactions. But what we know is that transformation is an inside job.
Hmm,
so the more,
I agree.
Yeah, being a therapist, you would, absolutely. And
mm-hmm.
the more we can witness ourselves from this different perspective and stop identifying with the messages our mind gives us, for instance, the stories that's been created, usually surrounding us being a victim in some way. You know, oh, I had a bad childhood, this happened to me, that happened to me. The problem is most of us have begun to identify with these stories that the mind tells. So when you awaken, you see you're not your mind, you're not your body. You actually are a consciousness, you're a witness to all of that. And so mm-hmm. that's awakening. It's a change in consciousness.
Wow. You reminded me, many years ago I had this wonderful therapist who one day had me thank my brain, my mind, for all that it had done for me, and then to tell it it now was taking a back seat. So,
that's it in a nutshell.
Right. But that was done very deliberately, and what I understand happens in Diksha or in the oneness phenomenon is that this comes up sort of like organically inside of you. It comes up as it's time for it to come up.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And that's the miracle of it, and that's the permanent aspect. It's effortless in that sense. However, inner work is deliberate, too. It's full of intention.
Mm-hmm.
So in oneness, that inner work is called effortless effort.
Mm-hmm.
Your growth will exponentially grow as mm-hmm. you intend to look at your relationships in this new way, as you spend time staying with your feelings so that they can move through you fully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we call that in oneness staying with the what is.
Yes, I like that. So there are a few things that are unique to this oneness movement that I'd like to just emphasize. One, and we've talked about some of them. One is it's non-denominational. Two is there is an actual shift in the brain that occurs. And three, which has impressed me, is that Diksha is being made available to as many people as possible. And I found in looking at the cost of courses and so forth that it's really not costly. And when I went to participate in a group, I was asked for a donation for the space, and the leader said the grace is free, which was delightful.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
it's because it's viewed as a blessing. It's a gift from the universe to be able to pass Diksha on and to receive it. But then there's the reality of living in this world. Yeah, we have to pay rent. The teachers of it, if they're teaching courses, have to pay their bills. So there is some money involved.
Great. All right. But I have been acquainted with other courses that are on a similar path, and one of the things that strikes me is how reasonable it is to take the courses and so forth. And it's not required that you take the courses either. So you say, and this is a quote, "The mission of oneness has always been to awaken humanity back into their natural state of love, connection, peace, joy, and authenticity." And then you add, "Authenticity includes anger, sadness, and pain." This is what I personally really love to hear, because I have wanted to include all the emotions in life and in the spiritual, and that's what the oneness phenomenon is doing. And I want to spend some time talking with you. We're ready for our break right now, but I want to spend some time talking with you about including emotions in to the spiritual, which is done through the oneness phenomenon. Are you ready for that after the break?
Absolutely.
Great.
Wonderful.
Thank you. All right. My guest today is certified oneness trainer and author of The Oneness Blessing, Paula Rosenfeld. Find out about the power of sacred chambers when we return here on Full Power Living. How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements before we get back to talking with Paula Rosenfeld. Next week on Full Power Living, I'm talking with psychologist Dr. Carmen Hara and life coach Alexandra Hara about the truth about karma in relationships. They're going to talk with us about how you can calculate your own birth code, how to prepare for the afterlife, and the four types of relationships and how they're influenced by karma. Listen next Thursday, July 9th at 9 a.m. Pacific time or noon Eastern time. I look forward to hearing their advice on how to guide our relationships by love so that we can stop feeling overwhelmed and confused in relationships if you are. And when you register at emotionalpro.com, we'll start sending you our twice weekly newsletter so we can keep you up to date on the shows and topics we're covering every month. We are focused on emotions, and therefore we talk about everything because emotions are involved in everything. So you'll want to keep up with what it is exactly that we're talking about. We have some great shows lined up for you. And while you're on emotionalpro.com, click on the CCFL Global Academy logo and find out firsthand about the services and information available at the Global Academy for you, your children, and your family. I'm a part of this Global Academy, and I function as the expert on emotional mastery and on ending codependence. So come and help us shape the world's future by the ways in which we are raising the world's children. Just click the CCFL Global Academy posted on emotionalpro.com, and you'll be immediately connected. So my guest today is certified oneness trainer Paula Rosenfeld, who's also author of The Oneness Blessing. And before our break, Paula, I was talking with you about how excited I am to hear at least a spiritually oriented philosophy, something that's designed to help us awaken, that's including emotions in. Tell us more about the importance of emotions as we're awakening, please.
Sure. Emotions are absolutely crucial to being a human being.
Yep.
You know, I view it as our sort of energetic connection to life as it unfolds. So these waves of energy or whatever you want to look at it, you know, perhaps scientifically or emotionally, the energy of our emotions are always moving through us. And if we don't recognize them, they become blockages in our energy field. So now I'm speaking as the energy healer that I am. Mm-hmm. There's the same is true from the viewpoint of a psychotherapist, I'm sure. You know, what we resist persists. So if we're pushing away our emotions and not allowing them to move freely through us, then we create all sorts of blockages, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. So in oneness, we talk about staying with the what is. The what is whatever is happening in the moment. So you may be feeling as part of what's happening. You may be feeling anger, sadness, joy, competitiveness, jealousy, you know, hatred. It could be anything. The problem is when we react to that and identify with our emotions, it causes a lot of disturbance in our relationships too. So oneness teaches that it's very good to sit down at times during the day, at least once a day, and I like to do it before sleep, and just sort of be with whatever emotional charges came up for you that day. For instance, something may be churning around in your mind. Oh, I had this bad conversation, this difficult conversation with so-and-so. Go back to that and really tune in to how you felt during that conversation. It will be felt in your body, perhaps in your stomach or your heart or your head, some area of your body. It may have a color or a shape. It may bring up something that happened a long time ago, for instance, from your childhood when, you know, your mom talked to you like that. So all of these charges, as we call them, have their roots in something that manifests physically and often a charge that's been living in our bodies for many, many years. Mm-hmm. So when you stay with it, when you allow the feeling to come up really strongly and feel it, it moves through you. It passes. It never sticks. Sometimes it takes longer than others to move through. For instance, if it's like a very significant relationship that's involved, like a parent or a significant other, you know, the roots of the emotions go very deep. And those kind of relationships tend to bring out the best and the worst in us, so to speak. Not that there's judgment, but when I say worst, the feelings that we most resist typically, like the anger or the fear.
You know, I haven't thought about this in a long time, but about 35 years ago, I was living with the man who eventually became my second husband, and I became aware that I was feeling hatred about him in particular. I hated the way he walked. I hated the way he moved his little finger. I hated the way he talked, and I just became aware of it. And he finally, you know, it didn't take him very long, and he asked me what was going on, and I said, well, I'm hating you right now, and I hate your, you know, everything about you. And I said, I realize that it's not you. It's likely people that I have hated all my life, but I've never really allowed myself to hate before, and it feels so good, I'm not going to stop. So please just take care of yourself. And he moved out, and we lived separately for about 6 months, during which time he allowed himself to go through his hate, and then we got back together and married and had our son.
That's a beautiful story. Yeah, that's being authentic in relationship too, right?
Yes, and you know, that strikes me as what it must be like when you are doing a Diksha or working with the Oneness Blessing, is it comes up, it just like appears as it is meant to do, and you just go with it. You don't resist it, or you don't judge yourself and say, oh, I can't possibly hate somebody. You know, you just, well, this is what's up. Let's see where it goes, kind of thing.
Exactly. And, you know, when you typically are resisting feelings that you don't welcome, for instance, hatred, mm-hmm. what happens in our culture and the world culture, or what has happened, is addiction takes hold.
Uh-huh.
You begin, you know, the mind tries to protect you from feeling these things. So instead, you want to suppress it, and often with a substance or a fantasy or, you know, whatever, some kind of habit you cultivate that takes you away from fully experiencing your feelings.
So as you say that, I have this this idea that I haven't had before, which is, you were talking earlier about intention and how you intend to unfold, and you will get unfolding. If you intend to resist feeling, then your mind will help you with that. And if you intend to awaken, your mind will help you with that. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. I would say...
I'm going to learn something. It's great.
No, I think, you know, intention is very important. Intention has to come from the heart to really be truly powerful, I think. If you have a longing to awaken, you know, you will. You will. If you have a longing for something, in that sense, I would call it intention. But as I said, awakening is a gift, so it'll come in its right time and place. We try and control the mind prior to awakening. We think we are controlling our emotions. We think we're controlling our mind. We might do affirmations. We do a lot of work, a lot of effort to try and take control of this wild thing in us that's actually always trying to preserve our safety and our separateness. That's what the mind does. It preserves our sense of self, which is based in the ego. So after awakening, after the permanent shift, and I speak for myself, I cannot control my feelings like that. I can delay feeling them, but honestly, I am so... much more connected to the wholeness that I am, that I just sort of automatically recognize my feelings. And it's not always comfortable. Yeah. but this is where growth happens. You sit with it and you feel it. You just face it, just like facing fear. There's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the resisting of it, the repressing of it, the addictive tendencies that keep us connected to what doesn't feel good underneath the conversation. There's a feeling that lives.
And this supports a notion that came to me many years ago, that on the earth, in order to get beyond something, you must go through it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're saying, but you're also offering an easier way than most people think to go through it. All you have to do is pay attention to it and sit with it, and it deals with itself.
Absolutely, that's it.
That's great.
And it takes you back to your essential nature, which is actually bliss. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, in the Vedic tradition, that's the tradition of Hinduism, you know, it's said in answer to the question, who are we really? We are existence, consciousness, and bliss. You know, we exist, therefore we are. We are the consciousness, and the nature is bliss. Now, that might feel on some days like peace. But I've actually been in a position myself many times where I'm feeling pain, even physical pain, and I allow myself to feel it fully, and what bubbles up is joy.
Wow.
But at the same time, I'm feeling joy because the pain is a sensation. Physical pain is really a sensation. When the mind is jumping in, it's creating stories about the pain, and that's where suffering comes in. You know, the story might be, oh, I'll never get over this. Oh, my God, you know, I'm always going to have this headache. It seems endless. Blah, blah, blah. The mind's giving commentary on it. When you just sit with the experience of pain, it is a sensation, but it's not who you are. You know, you're this consciousness.
That's really relevant to me. My husband currently has cancer, and the cancer itself seems to be under control, but because it had metastasized, he has a great deal of pain, and it's been quite vexing. Nobody can quite tell us what's causing the pain, but that's an interesting thing. He himself has a story that the cancer has caused the pain, and he'll never be able to get rid of the pain.
Yeah.
And so if he were to be able to sit with it and recognize it as a sensation and maybe even ask what other story he could attach to it or would like to attach to it, are you suggesting that might be able to make a difference in a situation like that?
Attaching a story to it, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't want to tell him what to do. He's having a very unique experience.
Uh-huh.
But I definitely would agree that if he can sit with it and just feel it fully, the story tends to just, the story goes away. You're just in the experience of feeling this. And mindfulness meditation, also called Vipassana,
mm-hmm.
Uses this method as well. In fact, it's been studied at Harvard. It's utilized those programs that teach people who have pain to meditate into the pain, to fully experience the pain so that they can make peace with it and move through it perhaps. A lot of times, yes, it definitely lessens, because the story and the suffering that comes with the story is adding to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another thing I talk about in the book is I had a chronic back spasm that went on for like 11 years. Very
wow.
Painful and very limiting to me.
Mm-hmm.
As I began to receive more and more Diksha and ask, pray, you know, I prayed for miraculous healings. I sought help from in all the traditional ways throughout the years and also in the spiritual ways.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found is my perception of the pain began to change first, before anything else. I just naturally stopped creating stories about it. And then I noticed it less and less. It became no longer the central issue that was limiting me in my life. You know, oh, I can't go on a bike ride because I can't dance because of that. You know, those are the limitations that the mind brings to our lives.
You know, it strikes me that Diksha could be even better than the pills of modern medicine, because it happens automatically, and after you do it for a while, it's taking you in a positive direction on its own, and you don't even have to worry about taking a pill. So
exactly.
It sounds really great. I think it would really appeal to Americans, all of us
exactly.
who like our pills. We're up to our second break, and I've been talking here with Paula Rosenfeld, who is the author of The Oneness Blessing. And we're going to be talking more about the chambers, the experience of the chambers, when we come back. You're listening to Full Power Living. Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us, four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar. Welcome back. The Oneness Blessing is her book, and Paula Rosenfeld is the author that we're talking with today about the worldwide phenomenon of the Oneness Blessing, or Diksha, which is available to you and to all of us to assist with our awakening. Paula, how, especially if you got acquainted with Diksha only 6 years ago, how did you get the gift of writing about it in the Oneness Blessing?
That really was a gift. The universe set that up for me. There's a publisher, the publisher of this book, Career Press, New Page Books. The co-owner of that is a Diksha giver herself, and she recognized the need for a book, a current book about it. There really hadn't been a book describing this phenomenon for about 7 years. And through beautiful synchronicity, I got connected with her. And so I was able to write the book. I wrote a proposal for the kind of book I wanted to write, and it was accepted. So, yeah, that was grace and a great honor. I have been writing for many years, had never published a book before, wrote articles and a blog, was an English major in college, but I always wanted to write a book. And probably due to lack of self-confidence, unworthiness issues, lack of discipline, you know, all that stuff, had not done it yet.
Well, now you have.
Now I have.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I consider that part of the grace that is flowing through this phenomenon.
Right. So while we're at it, where can people get a copy of The Oneness Blessing? Can they buy that in Amazon or local bookstores? Where can they go?
Absolutely. You could get it at both. It's on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can check your independent booksellers or Barnes & Noble in the store. But you could also go to my website, and there's a link to all these opportunities.
And that's from theheartcenter.com?
Correct, from theheartcenter.com.
Good. If people wanted to find out more about Diksha, isn't there a Diksha, an official Diksha website?
Yeah, you could go directly to oneness events.org. Yeah, that's the best way to plug in oneness events.org. Plug in your city or town, and you'll find the closest Diksha circle. Some areas have more than others, definitely around the bit more major cities, but they're scattered all over the U.S. and definitely all over the world as well.
Ah, okay. Now we have a question here. The question is, we had Zach Polfus on our program talking about higher brain learning, where they just do touching on the body, and they had had research done and talked about a neurobiological shift in the prefrontal cortex, which they called gamma brainwave consciousness. And so the question is whether Diksha accesses the same gamma brainwave and or have people been assessed with research so that you have, you know, that's been shown that the the brain change actually occurs.
You know, I can't speak for that modality to say if it's exactly the same thing that they're saying as what Oneness says. But yes, there has been scientific research done. They have shown that the shift is the same kind of shift that really long-time meditators might achieve.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's permanent, as opposed to a lot of time meditation will take you there, but it doesn't stick. You know, awakening is that actual permanent shift.
Wow.
So I think probably everyone's talking about the same thing.
It would seem so to me.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about how many of us are. You know, what do they say? There are many, many roads to God. So,
yes,
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that is something I really appreciate about the oneness approach is how supportive it is, you know, no arbitrary, you've got to believe this way or think this way. It's like, here's something you can think about, here's something you can do. So
yes. Eileen, can I just, I've got in front of me that website that I was looking for. This will tell you a lot about the phenomenon and where you can find it and so forth. It's World Oneness community.com. worldonenesscommunity.com, and that's got all the international websites by country.
All right. Very good. All right. So we have three websites. One is fromtheheartcenter.com. One is oneness events.org, and the other is worldonenesscommunity.com. Good. Just want to be clear about those.
And I would add one more, oneness university.org.
Oh, right.
Which talks about the courses that you can take, Oneness University being in India, and that's their official website.
Great. All right. Thank you. So in the Oneness Blessing, in your book, you say that a fairly recent addition in the Oneness phenomenon is the Sacred Chambers. And there are people who specifically operate these chambers, and they may be focused on different kinds of awakening or opening. Like, I think there's one in the Midwest on relationships. So can you tell us about the sacred chambers and how they work and what their purpose is?
Yeah. You know, things move very quickly in the oneness phenomenon. And they're always evolving, just like life. So now the chambers actually are known as the Sri Amma Bhagwan, or Bhagavan, you could pronounce it either way, sacred chambers, Sri Amma Bhagavan sacred chambers. So if you see that somewhere, you'll know why it's being called that. But the sacred chambers are facilitated by people who have gone through a special initiation to hold these chambers. Also, another evolution that just recently occurred is no longer do the chambers just sort of feature their specialty. All of the chambers offer all the specialties, all the aspects of healing. So if you want healing for relationships in particular, you could go to any sacred chamber and ask for that or experience that.
Mm-hmm.
The chambers itself are a designated area of three rooms where each room has a certain purpose. The first room involves meditating on those things that are keeping you from closeness to whatever is sacred to you. You know, people have many words for what's sacred to them. It could be spirit, higher self, the universe, God, a higher power. These are all words for the same essence, I would say. That's what I like to think of it as, an energetic even essence. So in the first chamber, you're contemplating on what keeps you from really being connected to this authentic essence. And then when it's time to go into the second chamber, you're able to ask for healing, for whatever you'd like healing for in your life. And the third chamber is to experience and ask for healing as well. So if you want to experience greater closeness to that essence or your divine, as we call it, you can ask and have that experience there.
Mm.
And so it's going to be different for every person. And each time you go, it's different. I've had many, many miraculous visits to the sacred chambers and really highly encourage anyone, like your husband, in fact, who's going through serious illness, serious relationship issues, financial issues, anything, go there and ask for help.
That's a great idea. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
You say that I'm interested in this because I've been teaching for many years that one of the building blocks of self-esteem is to listen to our inner voice. And you say that Diksha can elevate our inner voice and make it easier to hear it and follow it. What is the inner voice in oneness consciousness?
The inner voice is definitely not the voice of the mind. So it's the voice of the witness. Self, or the authentic self, the heart's voice, the voice of your inner divine, as we call it. You know, and again, that can be whatever you want to think of it as, whether God or spirit or higher self. But that's the voice that one has an experience of, you know, and the experience is going to be different for each person. Some people actually hear a voice. Other mm-hmm. people, and I am more of this other camp where I feel led by a presence in my life. I actually have a very deep, intimate relationship with this something that provides guidance just by showing up as my life. You know,
yes.
A certain person says something, a certain book pops off the shelf, one door closes, another door opens, you know, just like that. That's how I engage in this deep personal relationship with my inner divine. Mm,
that's so wonderful. So in the spirit of some final words, you offer some feedback that you got from Tazdeen Rashid, who's a oneness trainer and a musician. And he says that oneness teaches that strong intent plus effort plus grace equals success and growth. And I thought maybe we could use that as a little bit of a kickoff for you to tell our listeners what they could start doing right now that would help them move in this direction.
I think it's awesome to just sit with yourself and ask yourself, what is your heart's desire?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you long for? And let the clarity about that, as, you know, far-fetched as it may seem to you at that moment, but let that be your intention. And then put in the effort that's required to make that happen. And then wait for the grace. Allow the grace to enter your life to make that happen at the right time and place. That's like how a book came to be for me.
Well, then we know you mean it from your heart.
I do.
To everybody else's heart. That's really wonderful, Paula. Well, I all through your book, I just want to say I'm impressed with the spiritual focus, the desire to bring souls together and help them recognize their oneness again without making it a commercial venture or a have to. And I'm really grateful to the founders of Oneness University and their son, Krishanji, who's now running the university, as I understand it, to share this information in a way that fits with what's really being taught, that we're all one and that it's time for us to wake up, to awaken. So I think you've conveyed that really fully in your book, and I want to thank you for taking the time and the effort to do the loving action of writing the book. And thank you also for being with us today here on Full Power Living.
Oh, you're welcome, Eileen, and thank you for having me and your kind words. It's been wonderful talking.
Great. All right, next week, listen to Full Power Living when I talk with psychologist Dr. Carmen Hara and life coach Alexandra Hara about the truth about karma in relationships. I certainly look forward to having you with us next Thursday, July 9th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time or noon Eastern. Today we've had Mike Cantor, affiliated with Fresh Talk Media, as our producer. So, Mike, thank you very much for your work. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.